And we are back on Sunday Morning Live. It's 10:32, 28 minutes before 11 o'clock, and in Zynga with the best in gospel music. I've got Max Edison, sports editor of the Defender Network, on board. Good morning, sir, and welcome to the program.
World famous. Good morning. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great, man.
Got the voice here, Val Wilson.
Yeah, thanks for bringing breakfast for everybody.
It's all a virtual breakfast now, Eugene. It's, you imagine yourself to be full, and darn it, you're full. So that's how I look at it. I'm trying to come back,
Jay. A virtual breakfast. I like that.
Yeah. How's everybody?
Great.
How's that virtual breakfast working for you? Don't you feel full?
Hey, all I need is a toothpick and a glass of water.
That's what I'm saying. And a pillow to take a nap, baby. Those eggs were good.
Oh, boy. Yeah, you know, Max, actually, you know, we really wanted to get you here to talk about, you know, the Black College Football Hall of Fame. A lot of folks really don't even know about the Black Football College Hall of Fame. And it took place, the latest induction took place on the 16th. And we thought we'd just kind of go over, you know, just what happened then and some of the folks who've been inducted since its inception.
Well, man, it's this year's class is a star-studded group that has connections to right here in Houston, especially from the old Houston Oilers days. Linebacker Elvin Bethea was inducted. Quarterback Charles Choo Choo Breskins. Of course, the legendary Joe Gilliam, quarterback out of Tennessee State and with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Our very own product from Prairie View A&M in Lufkin, Texas, Kenny Houston, who spent a great deal of time here with the Houston Oilers, retired as a Hall of Famer with the Washington Redskins, and of course, Charlie Joyner, Hall of Fame wide receiver out of Grambling, who spent an early portion of his career here as part of the Houston Oilers. And, you know, we got quite a few guys that really have some notes and some roots to Houston.
Yeah.
Also, in addition to this Hall of Fame, another guy with ties to the Houston area, Curly Culp, was recently named as part of the 2013 class of inductees into the NFL Hall of Fame. That ceremony was back the Saturday before the Super Bowl, which was about 3 weeks ago. So he'll go in representing as part of his stellar career in the NFL, the Love You Blue era. He was the outstanding nose guard for Bum Phillips during that era with Earl Campbell and so forth. So even though the Oilers are no longer here, there are people that represent that era, not only in the Black College Hall of Football Hall of Fame, but also to a greater extent in the NFL Hall of Fame, and had a chance to see Elvin Bethea, who was on hand at that the ceremony that they announced the inductees into the 2013 NFL Hall of Fame. So that'll be good. We got Earl Campbell, we've got Elvin Bethea, and now Curly Culp, that we can call guys that played a good part of their career here in Houston with the Houston Oilers.
And, of course, Elvin Bethea did play with he was an Aggie.
You might want to clarify which Aggie.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
A lot of white folks rolling their eyes like, Elvin Bethea, I don't remember that. Darn David Crow.
And what about Ken Houston? He was with he played for Prairie View.
Yeah, he was with Prairie View out of Lufkin, Texas. Outstanding football player, Prairie View, obviously. Had a chance to come here and play for the Oilers. Of course, back then, we weren't smart enough to keep him. He was involved in a big trade, ended up being a Washington Redskin, and is a legendary Washington Redskin, and made his claim into the Hall of Fame as a member of the Washington Redskins as a safety and a hard-hitting safety and a guy that's doing a lot of good, positive stuff in the community. I understand he's working with Lisa Berry Dockery over at Victory Tech, doing some things to be productive and give back to the community at this stage of his life.
I see some other names here on the list. Ed Too Tall Jones.
Oh, yeah, Too Tall.
I've heard the name.
Yeah, I know you have heard the name. All the Cowboy fans just stood up in their beds and gave a salute. Too Tall, outstanding defensive end from the Tom Landry era of the Dallas Cowboys. Former number one draft pick overall in the NFL draft out of Tennessee State. You know, that's from an era when HBCUs were still turning out and getting some of the very best high school African-American talent. And Too Tall is a representative of that. A guy that many people feel should be in the Hall of Fame, but he's not. But definitely a quality player that led the Cowboys to a couple of Super Bowls.
You see,
and
that.
Then of course in the first one back in 2010, we had Walter Payton, Jerry Rice, and Eddie Robinson were inductees, and Doug Williams.
Oh yeah, those were the guys that obviously, if you mention black colleges, you know you can't even get through the first paragraph without mentioning Doug Williams, Jerry Rice, Walter Payton, Coach Eddie Robinson, the legend out of Grambling. So it's good to see us. Yeah, Art Shell, first NFL head coach, African-American. So you can't really tell the story of HBCUs without mentioning those guys in the first breath. And it's good to see us have a chance to acknowledge our own. It's good when other people acknowledge your contributions, but it's good from when we internally as a community acknowledge and give credit where credit is due to our own.
Yeah.
I see some other names here. Larry Little, Jackie Slater, Shannon Sharp.
Offensive linemen are all, Jackie Slater out of Jackson State, a swag guy. Larry Little out of Bethune-Cookman, and Shannon Sharp, who's now, you can't hardly understand him, but he's a broadcaster for NBC, talks real fast out of Savannah State. What a Hall of Famer, and it's good to see a brother get that opportunity. So I ain't mad at Shannon, although sometimes you need to kind of, you know, play him on a different speed so you can actually understand what he's saying. But that's Shannon. I mean, what am I saying? Anybody that's seen Shannon Sharp, on CBS, he's on there with Phil since Dan Marino. I don't know what's worse, some of the get-ups he wears or being able to understand him. But he's on there with James Brown. James is working with him.
I feel
at least
good.
He's not dyeing his hair yet. But
713.
Oh, wrong James Brown.
713-390-5102. We're speaking with Max Edison, sports editor of the Houston Defender.
Defender Network.
DefenderNetwork.com is the website. Both of you guys are right. I don't want no foolishness.
Okay. How about Charlie Choo Choo? Brackens.
Outstanding quarterback back in the day. That was during the days when, you know, of course, we weren't allowed to play that position in the NFL, but a stellar quarterback, you know, we're talking back in the 50s, you know, Jay. You remember.
I'm going to step back from that one.
I took the class.
Yeah, I know you did.
Big John Merritt?
Big John Merritt, a legendary. He was comparable to Eddie Robinson at Tennessee State, won a number of national championships, HBCU national championships, had a tremendous program at Tennessee State for a number of years. And, you know, guys like him, the legendary Jake Gaither out of Florida A&M, and, of course, Eddie Robinson, Billy Nix here in this area, just the legends and I'm not going to say just black coaches, legendary coaches anywhere, you know, on the rival with guys like Bear Bryant and that ilk at their respective schools. So, you know, big day to see us acknowledge our own. And of course, you know, we had some big activity here earlier this week. Big trade by the Houston Rockets for the Rocket fans out there. On Wednesday, just a couple of days, one day before the trading deadline, a major trade that landed us Thomas Robinson, 6'10" power forward out of Kansas.
Yeah.
The number 5 pick overall in this year's draft. You know,
when he looks strong.
Oh, he is strong, man. You always want to make a deal with a team that's not as smart as you are. And Sacramento is a team that's in a state of flux. Reports that they're going to be sold to a group that's going to subsequently move them to Seattle. So since they're dropping salary and, you know, their management's not particularly bright, Daryl Morey, the Rockets general manager, was able to get in there and fleece them for a guy that, at least when you look at his potential on spec, could be an outstanding attribute to what we're trying to do here. And, of course, the Rockets, if the playoffs were to begin right now, would have the 8th and final spot for the playoffs in the NBA.
Wow. Let's go to line one and talk with Tony. You're on Sunday Morning Live with Max Edison. Good morning.
Hey, Max.
Hey, Tony. How you doing?
I'm going great. I'm a graduate of Texas Southern University. Played over there played on the basketball team back in 75, 76. And one of the guys that was there before me, Kenny Burrell, is he in the Hall of Fame, Black College?
No, he hasn't received that phone call yet. This is a fairly new organization. I think they just started in 2010, and it was created in part by Doug Williams. So I think it's just a matter of time. But when you have so many extremely talented athletes that have come from HBCUs, I mean, you still, you know, when you talk about Texas Southern, they still have, I don't think Michael Strahan is in yet. And you still have guys like Julius Adams. But I think as time goes on, there's no question that based on his career at Texas Southern, you know, Kenny was a second-round draft pick to the New Orleans Saints back in the day before subsequently winding up here with the Oilers in a trade, was an outstanding player. Also, in that same group, Warren Wells out of Texas Southern.
Exactly. And the Golden Triangle. I was going to mention Warren Wells and also Otis Taylor.
Otis Taylor out of Prairie View. So, yeah, they're, you know, of course, you know, they're going to cherry pick and get, you know, the bigger names. And those names generally come from places like Jackson State, Grambling. And, of course, you know, there are other schools, you know, Morgan State and Howard and places of that nature. But I think it's just a matter of time. And certainly Kenny, as well as several other guys that played at Texas Southern, it's just a matter of time before they get in.
Okay, I got to ask you one other question, and then I'm going to go. Can you figure out for the – I know you mentioned that Tuttle needs to be in the Hall, and I agree with that. But one other thing, why isn't Otis Taylor in the Hall of Fame in professional football? Did he do something wrong or something? Because Otis, he was the earlier Jerry Rice.
There's no question. Otis is a tremendous player. I know he's fallen on some really rough health situations right about now. One of the things about the Hall of Fame, I was in New Orleans and I was at the ceremony where they announced the 2013 class this year. One of the things that's very, very prevalent is the media representative in your home city has to really build a case for you and sell you to the other members of the committee. Now, out of the Kansas City area, the representative from that newspaper, I don't know what has happened, because I think, if memory serves me correctly, Otis is the only great player off those teams in the mid to late 60s and early 70s that Hank Stram had at Kansas City that's not in the Hall of Fame. A couple of years ago, Emmett Thomas from Angleton and Bishop, who was one of those stellar shutdown corners back in the day, he was admitted by the seniors committee, but certainly there's no question that Otis Taylor had a big touchdown in the 69 Super Bowl, one of the premier receivers of his day in the NFL, and deserves to be in the Hall.
I swear, boy, my friend and I, his name is John, he's from Worthing, and he said, we have that conversation, we've been having that conversation since the 80s, like, why isn't Otis Taylor, who was the premier receiver in the same mode as Jerry Rice, why isn't he in the Hall of Fame? I don't understand it. I can't figure that one out.
Hopefully, at some point, even if it has to go through the seniors committee, which is how Curly Cove got in, hopefully at some point someone will recognize the era that Otis is not in the Hall of Fame. Number 89 deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. I mean, it would be good for him to get there while he can still smell the roses.
No kidding. Boy, I'm going to watch. I'm going to listen to your show. Boy, this is a great show.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you.
Wonderful show. Thank
you. I have a question, Max. Is there a counterpart for, let's say, Black College Basketball Hall of Fame inductees, or is there any type of organization? Because as the young man was talking about TSU, I can think of several basketball players that did really well at TSU. And since we're talking about HBCUs, they went on to play professionally.
Most of the individual conferences have their Hall of Fame. And guys like, you know, Harry Machine Gun Kelly or Alonzo Bradley are in the SWAC Hall of Fame for that conference. And, of course, guys like Earl the Pearl Monroe out of Winston-Salem back in the 70s.
You know,
he's not only in the NBA Hall of Fame, but he's in the Hall of Fame for that respective conference with Winston-Salem. So, you know, every region, every niche, every conference has their Hall of Fame. And depending on how great the player was subsequent to his college career, they have an opportunity to be in the Professional Hall of Fame. Another local guy we were surprised that Michael Strahan wasn't in the 2013 class for the NFL Hall of Fame, but with the Super Bowl being in 2014, being in New York, and it was Michael's first year eligible for the Hall of Fame, we suspect that next year he'll be a part of the 2014 class, and of course, there'll be a lot of hoopla because he played his entire career in New York with the Giants, and of course, the Super Bowl being there as well.
All right, very good.
Now, the Rockets, the Texans, they had a press conference this week and answered questions about the team's goal.
All the Texan representatives, as are the other 31 teams, they're up in Indianapolis for the annual NFL Combine. That's where the top, 300 or so college athletes are invited up, and they do everything from, weigh them and measure them and have them running, jumping, and doing all this other athletic stuff. It's really kind of a circus, but, it's the NFL, and seemingly we can't get enough of the NFL. It's a multi-billion-dollar industry, and as evidenced by all of this stuff at the Combine being shown live on the NFL Network. But, yeah, the Texans are up there with all the other teams, and this is where you determine sort of the pecking order for guys that you will subsequently draft at the annual NFL Players Draft later in April. Understand that Manti Te'o, the linebacker from Notre Dame that was involved in the catfish scandal, one of the two teams already that has had a private interview with him has been the Texans. Of course, he's an inside linebacker, and regardless to what you think about that whole situation, he's a damn good football player, and he plays a position at inside linebacker that we sorely need some help at, somebody to play alongside of a Brian Cushing who can make a difference. But it's interesting because this is that time of the year where NFL teams get out their wish list. Of course, we fell a couple of games shy of the ultimate goal of the Super Bowl, and obviously some of the big needs for us, we need a playmaking wide receiver to kind of take some of the pressure off of Andre Johnson. We could also use some playmaking defensive players, preferably a linebacker, inside or outside. It really doesn't matter, but this is where guys go to watch guys and see who could be the next great player for us. And of course, we're represented with some local guys that are at the Combine. And then we have some guys that are from the Houston area that aren't participating in the Combine, but they should be NFL selections. A guy from U of H, Philip Stewart out of Hightower, that's an all-conference USA selection. Another kid, Russell Shepard, out of LSU, that was a highly touted quarterback/athlete, came out of the Sci-Fair area, was at LSU. He's going to try to make a go of it as a wide receiver in the NFL. So, just the opportunity for a lot of these college guys to fulfill their dreams, things that they've been had in their mind since they went peewee football, a chance to play on the biggest stage and be an NFL performer.
Let's go to line two and talk with Linda. You're on Sunday Morning Live with Max Edison. Good morning.
Yes. What happened to Evan Bethea and Baba Brazil?
Nothing that I know of. I saw Elvin down at the Super Bowl in New Orleans. He's doing well. Sure, he's managing his business interests here in Houston. I've seen some things where he's been volunteering and giving back, but looks well, is in good health, has his weight down. My understanding that Robert Brazil is back, I think, in Alabama, where he's from, doing some high school coaching the last time that I heard anybody, mention Robert Brazil. But, all these guys are still around. They're viable, and they're in good health, and they're doing good things in their respective neighborhoods.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much, Linda, for being part of the program.
That's an old school football fan that remembers those days.
Let's talk quickly about some TSU basketball
That's a tremendous story. They were down in Alabama. Both the men and women won a game last night at Alabama A&M. The women under Cynthia Cooper Dyke have already won 14 consecutive SWAC games.
Yes.
They've already clinched the championship in the regular season.
Wow.
For the SWAC. Cynthia has already won more games in one season than any other women's coach. It's just simply phenomenal. And this is her first year.
Wow.
So better things are coming down the pike for them. And Mike Davis with the men, although they're not eligible for postseason play because of some NCAA violations, they're making a strong bid to finish as the number one team in men's basketball for the SWAC. So big things are happening as it relates to TSU and basketball on both sides of the ledger, regardless to what gender. And, we always want to beat up on TSU with negative stuff,
but you
want to give credit where credit is due.
Coach Cooper Dyke
and Coach Mike Davis doing an outstanding job, and those student athletes not only doing well on the court, but my understanding is they're stepping up in the classroom. They got Southern next weekend. I think it's next Saturday. They've got Southern on the campus. So do yourself a favor and stop by and check out TSU men and women's basketball.
Okay, before we get drowned out by the music, the mayor received a letter from the Olympics Committee wanting to know if Houston was interested in the 2024 Olympics. And what do you think? You think that's something that think we're the city for it?
Man, I just want to be around.
Okay. You know that what, Max? Amen to that.
That ain't what I'm... That's not really what I'm worried about. If they get it, I just want to be there to cover it.
Knock on wood. Amen to that.
Talk about it, you know, so we... You know how that goes, boss. Huh? Yeah, we got our fingers crossed, but who knows if that'll happen? Who knows what studio we'll be broadcasting at? But we just want to see it happen, man.
All right. Hey, thanks so much, Max, for being a part of the program. I'd like to thank all of our guests: Max Edison, sports director of the Defender Network; Dwight Judge and the gang; Thomas Clausen and Ms. Allen from the National Board for Certified Counselors; and of course Amari Venzor, a finalist in the MLK Oratory Competition. I know we're going to hear a lot more from him, and also Congressman Al Green. Again, the opinions and views expressed are the views of the guests and hosts and callers, and not necessarily the management of Magic 102.1, KMJQ, or Radio 1 Incorporated. We welcome your feedback at myhoustonmagic.com. Hey, it's been great, Val.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, Max.
All right.
Don't forget, it's 2013. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to wobble, baby.
Yeah.
We can get this.
Y'all have a great week.
We can just get all those sequestered groups to wobble.
And Zynga is next with all your favorite gospel.
Yes, how about that? We get it done.
Music on Magic 102.1. That's called an overdub. Yeah. Okay, we're out of here.